Well, this morning I cried out to the Lord as usual, but he said, "I've already given it to you." How many know when you've already gotten it? Sometimes it takes a little while to catch on to what he gave you. So we're going to Luke chapter 1. And I think you're going to, because my mind was, well, we should have something concerning the veterans. And he said, well, that's the natural. We're going into the realm of the spirit. Amen? We're going to Luke chapter 1. And I would definitely say that you might be wise to kind of check out the beginning of the word, but the very part that needs to be emphasized is the second part of verse 18. 17, I'm sorry. The second part, so the B part of verse 17. Verse 18 says, 17 says, "And he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah," which that's important, "to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to wisdom, of the righteous." Here's the part that is really pushed out: to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. To make ready a people prepared for the Lord. That's your capstone. And yesterday, how many know you can get involved in computer stuff?
Amen.
And I got involved and I ended up listening to R.T. Kendall. Anybody know what R.T. Kendall is? Mm-hmm. He's a man, I would say, a little older than I am, I'm guessing, because it's hard to tell. But he was on with John Paul Jackson, and he made a comment that really got my attention. And then my phone rang, and things went busy, and I had to shut things down, and I had to run, and I had to do. When I came back, I said, "Lord, I want to go back," because there was such a push. Okay? And he pointed out that the Lord gave him a message years ago, when he was in London, to the body of Christ. A huge conference at one of the largest conference centers in England. There were all kinds of people there. Pentecostals, charismatics, you name it. He said they were all there. Here was the gist of his message. He was in Abraham's word about the scripture about Abraham, etc., and how Abraham really believed that he had a son that was the chosen gift from God. His name was Ishmael. How many know Ishmael was not the gift? But Abraham believed, and so did Sarah believe. And they really, truly received this false son as the promise that the father had given. And they walked around for at least 13 years believing a lie. How's that sit on you?
Lots of us do it every day.
Yeah. What about you and me?
Yep.
Then there was a word that came after 13 years of believing a lie that the real son was going to come forward. And here was his message to England: the charismatic renewal, the Pentecostal movement from the 50s on up, all the way from Azusa Street till now, has been an Ishmael. The real son has not showed up yet. And when he gave that message, I guess from what I understand, the thousands of people who were there literally were Oh, you're kidding. How could we have been so deceived? And he said, was Abraham deceived? Did he believe that he had the answer? And he said, stop praying for revival, because you're going to revive the old. How do we have a tendency to look at what God did and we ask for it to happen again? And he said, what you had was not for now. And it's not for tomorrow. There's something greater and more pure than what you've had. He said, after the conference was over, he got so much flack from the body of Christ that they were so angry because of that message. They couldn't digest it. He said, however, there was one anointed man that came to him and said, are you aware of the prophecy from Smith Wigglesworth from 1947? Never heard of this prophetic word that had come through Smith Wigglesworth. He said, and for those of you who are nosy, Google it. And you'll find what the prophecy says. But in gist, here it is. There's a move of God coming, and everybody's going to think it's the real son. But it's an Ishmael. The real promise of Isaac will come later. And I prophesy to you that it will come. And it's going to be so much greater. Because you see, Ishmael was born from an Egyptian woman. The seed was not pure in the Egyptian woman. The seed was pure when it was received by the real bride, Sarah. If you look at the body of Christ and its impurity, she was coming from Egypt. Hasara b'chashi, I can feel the anointing, and I know now we're stretching beyond what we... Hasakia. Hear me. The Egyptian woman's seed was a gift. And Abraham asked for God to be blessing this man. And God did bless him. But spiritually, the promised son was yet to be exposed and given. To make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Was it the offspring of Ishmael that the promise was given to Abraham? It was given to whom? Ah, and Sarah represents the real church, the church of the living Father. You know now where I'm coming from. Some of you already have a knowledge of where I'm coming from. And you're starting to connect the dots. You see, the spirit of Elijah was released in Luke chapter 1, upon a man named, what was his name? John. Zechariah had to have his mouth shut because he would have brought an abortion. Some of us need to shut our mouth because we abort literally our future without even realizing it that we're doing it. And God was kind enough to shut the mouth of Zechariah for 9 months. How many of you have ever been told by the Lord, shut up?
Every day.
Thank you. Don't speak what you see and hear and feel. Because you're going to bring an abortion into my plan. It's not our plan that's important. It's his plan, Dr. Bob. Everybody's got their ideas. And so do I. But I'm saying to you, His plan is so much greater, so much higher, so much better. So he's telling us today, because you see, to make prepared for him, for the Lord. Isaac, when he came forth, caused a lot of irritation. Storms began to blow. Strong storms. And Sarah finally said, wait a minute. Abraham, you got to get rid of this woman and her son. Now, was it her idea to start off?
Yes,
it was. It was Sarah's idea. Oh, if you only knew how much I want this baby. Let my maid be the instrument. That telling you how bright the brain is.
You got that right.
Okay, how bright those thoughts will come and how strong they will manifest. And Abraham is a sucker. He goes with it. After all, a new bride on the side, kind of nice.
Who wouldn't? Really?
Thank you. Especially when it's your wife's idea.
Please.
Well, please is really the truth.
But think about it. I what man would say, oh, no, I can't do that. Please.
But you see, what I'm coming from is the natural brain will cancel the anointing. The natural thinking cancels the anointing. Zachariah's mouth was about to bring an abortion. Who knows how many abortions that she had before that ability from God to just shut his mouth. Close your eyes for a moment. Say, God, if I'm closing doors
with my big mouth,
help me to turn it around. Because your plan is to make ready a people prepared for the Lord to use. And that's me. Yeah. See, when we speak our emotions, we are definitely being used and not necessarily by God. Okay. The next level, I believe that there are people right now in the wings. Different churches are being prepared for the Holy Spirit to use them. I spoke to you a couple of weeks ago or last week about how we were sent to Connecticut to get a word. And that was the word. God is interested in a people for Massachusetts. That's us. It's for his use in Massachusetts, not for us to manipulate Massachusetts. We were chosen then. What are we doing now? We're being prepared. Do we always understand it? Absolutely not. Why are the hardships and the difficulties of different kinds? They're ordained of God for us to mature. Verse 11. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. Gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Oh, my God, now I've got an answer to prayer. Your wife, Elizabeth, will bear you a son, and you are to give him the name John. He will be a joy and a delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He will be great in the sight of the Lord. It's not Zechariah's sight. It's not his wife's sight. It is the Lord's sight. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drinks, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from birth. B, in the bottom footnote, says, or from his mother's womb. I like that. Watch now. Many of the people in Israel will he bring back to the Lord their God. That's your future. And he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and the power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Not to do what they feel like, but to do what he has promised. Zechariah asked the angel, how can I be sure of this? That's showing you where he is. And he was a priest. And he still was filled with what?
Unbelief
and doubt. I am an old man and my wife is well along in years. What is he focused on? All the natural abilities. After all, he didn't have Viagra. Well, come on now, girls. Yeah. You know what can happen. All right? I'm making you laugh, but I'm hoping that it's going to awaken you to what Sarah was involved in. Her unbelief of her husband was no different than what was going on with Elizabeth. They were related. Amen? 19. The angel answered, I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their proper time. Notice again how specific those words are. Now, you will be silent and not be able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their proper time. How would you like to hear that word coming out? How would you tolerate that kind of a test? Would you say it's from God or from the devil? If you woke up tomorrow morning and you opened your mouth and nothing comes out, what would you say? Devil, be gone? Don't go there. Think about where I'm coming from. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to give us wisdom when we speak, to give us his opinion about us instead of our own. You see, as we continue to speak about ourselves and our wives, and I'm talking to you men now, speak what he thinks. Speak what he says. Speak what he believes about you and me. When he is telling you and me to be quiet about our future, it's because he's trying to shut down any abortions coming out of our mouth. And if we reflect on his plan, he will bring about a people prepared for the Lord. 21. Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondering why he stayed so long in the temple. And when he came out, he could not speak to them. They realized he had seen a vision in the temple, for he kept making signs to them, but remained unable to speak. When his time of service was completed, he returned home. After this, his wife, Elizabeth, became pregnant, and for 5 months remained in seclusion. For five months remained in seclusion. What was she having a problem with?
Oh my gosh, they're all going to see me pregnant. Look how old I am.
When I first moved to Sylvia Street, and my wife and I got to know our neighbors, they had been there a little bit before us. They had lived in their home for about 3 years, and she had several miscarriages. And after Rick was born, her and her husband Stanley decided to adopt a little girl, which they did. Because so many miscarriages, after a while, the doctor says, don't even try, because it's, I think she was had five miscarriages, so it was, because it couldn't happen anymore. She just couldn't handle any more of the emotions of the pressure. Well, they adopted this little girl in the fall, and Stanley was a very nice gentleman. I enjoyed his company tremendously, and I had known him now for about 2.5 years, and he had a heart attack while he was laying down a hardwood floor for his little girl. We brought him to the hospital. We went to visit him after the ER experience, and they said he'll be fine, and so she was concerned because Irene had stayed home with the baby. The little girl was at our house, so I drove Doris back to my house, and when we walked into her house, the phone rang and Stanley was gone. Her greatest fear was she was going to lose this little child, and she had just lost her husband. The resurrection power came later, because of God's grace, she was able to keep the child. Because I think if they would have taken that little girl away from her, she probably would have died. To make a long story short, 4 years later, or 3.5, or whatever the numbers are, she married Stanley's first cousin. And they began a life together, had a wonderful relationship. And approximately 6 or 8 months later, it was probably more than that, 7 or 8 months later, she said to my wife, I'm pregnant. And they were building a stone wall next to their driveway, and she was out there pushing stones and whatever. And my wife says, but haven't you gone to the doctor? She says, no. She says, because I lose every child. She says, I know what's going to happen. And so my wife said to her, you've got to get yourself to the doctors, whether you like it or not, whether you feel that you are or aren't going to have. That's not important. You just need to have somebody check you. Because not only, yes, you know, she can feel the baby, but she says, I had that before. Well, guess what? Susie was born the day that Irene gave her a shower, because Irene prepared a shower in the backyard, and the mama decided to deliver on the very same day. So we had a party without the mama. But the baby came, and to God be the glory. God had a plan. It wasn't an abortion. I don't know how she made it through, but she had said to my wife, I am not going to the doctors. I am not listening to all those things that are going to happen, because they had given her all these warnings and all these things she had to do in order not to lose the baby. And this time she says, I'm not stopping any normal activity. What did she do? She stood against fear. She built a wall made out of stones and lifted up these stones with her husband, doing all the natural things, plus taking care of her baby, lifting that baby up, who was already 3 or 4. So God knew. What am I saying to you? Making ready a people prepared for the Lord. Not to be bound by fear, like my neighbor was, but to be bound to the anointing of the Holy One, to build us up into what he's called us to be and to become that which he's declared we will be. Not an Ishmael. But an Isaac. An Isaac full of laughter at all the darkness that has tried to conquer us. Laughing at the darkness, laughing at the bad thoughts, laughing at all the accusations that come into the mind and will of each of us. After this, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant and for 5 months remained in seclusion. The Lord has done this for me, she said. In these days, he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace among the people. I believe the same thing's going to happen in the word of life that is coming alive in the church. He's going to take away the shame. He's going to take away the disgrace. And he's going to show us favor. Close your eyes now, because this is enough. Say, Father, I'm hearing loud and clear that the church has been mocked. Laughed at. And sometimes being deceived. We ask for grace. To get us ready. For what you've prepared. For us to become. Genuine sons of the Most High. Genuine from the beginning to the end. Formed by an act of God's promise. He started many years ago. Preparing each of us. For such a time as this. And we will become. A people prepared. By God. For his glory. And we will. Be obedient. To carry. The anointing. To those that are broken. Those that are sick. And those that are dying. Physically or spiritually. Have your way with us, Lord. We're yours. In Jesus' name. Amen.